Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Hey everyone, welcome. My name is Bill Riley. I'm the marketing leader at Medical Advantage. And on behalf of Beth and I, we'd like to welcome you to our session today, 2022 MIPS updates, new challenges and opportunities. So we see many significant changes. MIPS is not a new program by any means, but we see many significant changes coming for performance year 2022. These changes could have a major impact for practices in terms of reward as well as penalties based on MIPS performance in the years to come. So I'm really excited to be with Beth, you again today, our MIPS expert, Medical Advantage senior consultant for quality and healthcare transformation. Beth has a very strong background supporting practices, both as a former office manager herself from years ago and in her role with us at Medical Advantage for the past several years, supporting practices and their readiness for the MIPS program. So Beth, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
All right. So before we get into the presentation, let me cover just a quick introduction for those of you who maybe knew a little bit about Medical Advantage. We're actually a part of the Doctor's Company or the TDC group. TDC is the largest physician-owned medical malpractice carrier in the country with close to 100,000 physicians as members. So we are the subsidiary of TDC, not providing insurance. We focus on practice improvement and consulting services at the point of care. So a little bit more about our services. For many years now, we've been helping practices perform better, whether that's across clinical, financial buckets, or with their use of technology in the practice. Today, we're going to zero in on one particular category, which is performance in value-based care arrangements, specifically the MIPS program. So with that, let's get into our content. Thank you, Josh. So, okay, Beth, I know you wanted to start out by discussing some of the broader, like, big picture updates, and then we'll get into some more of the category specific detail and look at some examples. So for starters, here we have some of the major overall updates. Can you take us through each of these as you understand them?
Sure. And I want to point out that these are just what we're going to talk about today are just a very few of the updates for 2022. But I want to highlight the ones that I think will impact the most clinicians or have a biggest impact on, even if it's just a small number of physicians, because it will change the way that they report. So the first is that clinical social workers and certified nurse midwives are now considered MIPS eligible clinicians. So what this means is that for behavioral health groups and for OBGYN groups, you just need to be aware that these clinicians, if you have them in your practice, that you will need to start reporting on them. Now, my tip here is that you should go to the QPP portal and check the participation status tool. There you can enter the NPI number for those clinicians and see what their eligibility is for, you'll have to look for 2021. So the 2021 final eligibility just came out, but for each year, the final eligibility also serves as the preliminary eligibility for the following year. So if you look at 2021, that's the same information that will be applicable for 2022. And what you want to look at is to see whether or not entering an NPI number on these providers actually pulls them up in the system. Because, for instance, for many clinical social workers, they may not bill Medicare under their own NPI number, in which case you'll get a note that there is no data for the provider. And if that's what you get, you don't have to report because they're not considered eligible. CMS doesn't even recognize them, so there's no reporting that needs to happen at an individual level. However, if they are part of, if you are reporting as a group, you do need to include their information as part of your group data aggregation that you'd submit. So a little tip there to get ready for 2022, check those newly eligible clinician types in the QPP participation tool just to get an idea of, on an individual level, whether or not you're going to need to worry about reporting for them next year. Next is that quality and cost will be equally weighted at 30%. So this was written into the original MACRA legislation 6 years ago now. This is what CMS always intended, was that quality and cost would be equally weighted and considered in the MIPS final score. This is not something that CMS has the ability to change. The original MACRA legislation gave CMS the first 5 years to alter that percentage and that weighting if necessary, if they felt like it would assist providers in getting them used to MIPS reporting. But now they don't have the option to change that. So we are seeing an equal amount of your MIPS final score will come from quality and from cost. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that impacts providers a little bit later on. Next, one change is that scoring for complex patient bonus points will increase from 5 points to a 10-point maximum. And more importantly, the only providers who will now receive complex patient bonus points are those providers who meet one of two risk standards. And those two risk standards are either surpassing the median of HCC scoring for their patients or their hierarchical condition category scoring, or meeting the medium or higher for the percentage of their patients that are dual eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. So in the past, pretty much all providers have received some amount of complex patient bonus points, which gets added to your MIPS final score and gives you just a little bit of a boost. That won't happen in the future. It will only be those providers who are truly treating complex patients that receive those bonus points. Most importantly, perhaps we see that the performance threshold, which is the number of points that a provider must reach in order to avoid a penalty, increases to 75 points. Now, this threshold was set because, again, in MACRA legislation originally, it was written that CMS would have to set the performance threshold in year 6 of the program, which is next year, to be the equivalent of the mean or median of MIPS performance from a previous year. So the lowest mean or median of any of the MIPS years so far was 2019, and that was 75 points. So that's where we get that 75-point number from. Hand in hand with that goes, we see an increase in the exceptional performer threshold bonus eligibility to increase to 89 points. So that is the number of points that you must reach in order to earn a piece of that exceptional performer bonus money that's available out there. And just a note, 2022 is the last year for the exceptional performer bonus. It goes away after next year. So we'll be left only with that straight MIPS adjust payment adjustment, negative or positive.
So Beth, it feels like the stakes are going up here. Josh, if we can just stay on that slide for a second. Weighting cost equal to quality. I mean, cost and utilization is certainly not a new category across so many, you know, value-based care arrangements. But I certainly do see the point summary at the bottom. The performance threshold and the exceptional performer, you know, those point increases, it feels like that's going to be impactful for practices. So what's your sense of that? To me, it feels like that's going to make it more challenging. I mean, do you have a sense of that?
It is. So I have a couple of things to say about that. First of all, when it comes to cost, cost is definitely the category that providers struggle with the most because, for one thing, providers don't report any data specifically to CMS for the cost category. All of that data comes from administrative claims. And while that does reduce burden, that the providers don't have to report that, because they don't have to report it, they don't truly understand what data is taken into account for the cost measures. So it's a very poorly misunderstood category. On top of that, the calculation and specifications for cost measures are very complex. So they're difficult to understand, even if you do have the time to read through all the specifications and really try to digest them, which providers and office managers just don't have. The other part of cost is that, of course, cost is the hardest category for any provider to control directly. So especially for those global measures like total per capita cost of care or Medicare spending per beneficiary, because those measures take into account all of a patient's costs for an episode or for the entire year, not only the costs of the provider who may have that patient attributed to them for the cost measure. So it's a difficult category to impact individually, and it's a difficult category because a provider isn't solely responsible for those scores. The big issue that I see with the increases in the thresholds is not necessarily that the thresholds are as high as they are, because frankly, the median and means have only gone up since the first year of MIPS in 2017. So the vast majority of practices are already scoring in this realm already. The problem is that we're going to see scores go down in 2022 because of scoring methodology changes, one of those being the equal weighting of cost and quality, because most practices don't score as well percentage-wise in cost as they do in quality. So those same points that maybe they used to earn at, let's say, a 90% performance rate overall in quality, maybe they only scored a 60% performance rate in cost. So they're going to get fewer of those attributed or weighted points in their MIPS final score. The other part is something that we're going to talk about in a minute, particularly in this terms of quality scoring, and we're seeing some major impacts there, which are going to reduce overall quality scores, I think, for most clinicians.
Well, speaking of cost and quality, I think we're going to go talk about that in a little more detail next here.
Okay. So on a individual category basis, in quality, the most important thing for providers to know is that CMS has eliminated the bonus points for electronic end-to-end reporting and for additional reporting of high priority and outcome measures. Together, those two bonus point pools equaled 12 points. And the vast majority of practices that I work with are able to top out their quality category scoring mainly because of those 12 bonus points. It's fairly easy, if you know what you're doing, to achieve those bonus points, and they help supplement the performance-based score. So typically, the quality category score is based on two elements, or in the past, it has been based on one, the performance score, which is the sum of the measure score for each of your six measured quality or measures that you submit, your top six measures that you submit, and then the bonus points. So we have always traditionally here at Medical Advantage encouraged and helped practices really take advantage of those bonus points. We don't really see many practices at all achieve optimal quality scores only with their performance-based score. So losing those bonus points is going to make a big difference for a lot of providers and their quality scores. And we'll see some examples of that in a minute. The other note about quality, this is actually one of the few changes that we see working in providers' favor in 2022, is that CMS is establishing a new 7-point scoring floor for new measures during the first performance period that a measure is released. In the past, there was a 3-point scoring floor, which meant if a provider, let's say a new measure was released for a performance year, and a provider really wanted to report that measure, because it applies to their scope of practice, the problem is that they wouldn't have any idea, because there are no benchmarks since it's a new measure, how they were actually going to perform and what they were going to score on that measure. So it was really a kind of a risky choice to make. Do you try to submit that measure? Because they wouldn't know until after all the performance year data was in how they actually scored in terms of decile scoring. But now providers can be relatively confident that if they want to report a new measure, it's not going to hurt them in their quality score. So that's a good change. And just on a side note, for the second year that a measure is in play, there is a 5-point scoring floor. So because it always takes 2 years for CMS to establish benchmarks on new measures. And then in the cost category, there are 5 new episode-based measures, and I'm going to read those off so you can listen for them. If it seems that these episode-based measures would apply to your scope of practice, then it would be good to go early next year and look at the cost specification sheets to just get an understanding of what is involved in the attribution of those measures and the specifications so you understand how they're calculated. So the first is melanoma resection. The second is colon and rectal resection. The third is sepsis acute inpatient. The fourth is diabetes chronic condition. And the fifth is asthma COPD chronic condition. So if any of those seemed applicable to your scope of practice, I recommend in 2022 going in and finding that information. It won't be available just yet on the QPP portal. So you'll have to wait until next year when they release those specs.
All right, very good. Why don't we talk about promoting interoperability?
Okay. So a couple important changes in promoting interoperability for 2022. First is that CMS has decided they are going to begin automatically applying the small practice hardship for PI reweighting for small practices. So a small practice is any practice or tax ID number that has 15 or fewer associated NPIs. In the past, small practices have been able to electively apply for the small practice hardship for PI and have those points reweighted to other categories. But now CMS is basically saying, we're going to apply this across the board. Now, if you're a small practice and PI is a high scoring category for you, you don't have to worry, because all you have to do to have your PI scored is just simply submit data. So any submission of PI data will override that automatic application of the reweighting. But if you are a small practice that typically takes that reweighting for it being a small practice, then you don't need to take any special steps starting in 2022 that those reweighting of points will automatically happen. Next, let's talk about the register reporting measures. So in the last couple years, when it came to registry reporting, you had to attest yes or take an exclusion on 2 measures, but there were a number of different options for you to choose from. And now CMS is stating, we're going to require you to report on immunization registry and electronic case reporting registry unless an exclusion can be claimed. Now, many practices can claim the exclusion either because those don't fall within their scope of practice or because their state doesn't have a registry reporting option that allows them to report yet for those. But just be aware that in the past, if you've avoided either one of those types of registry reporting attestations, you will need to be prepared to report on those in 2022. All of the other types of registry reporting, such as clinical quality reporting or syndromic surveillance, if you attest yes to one of those other types of registries, then you will receive 5 bonus points. But it's a maximum of 5 bonus points, regardless of how many registries you report to. And finally, there is a new required measure. Providers or practices, depending on whether you're reporting as individuals or groups, you must conduct an assessment of the high priority guide of the safety assurance factors of EHR resilience guides or SAFER guidelines. I don't think it's going to make any provider really happy to know that there's another assessment that they need to do, but I'm sure CMS will come out with a lot more information about what these guides are and how they're applicable to practices. They've done a really good job in the past of promoting a lot of education and providing a lot of good resources in the first year that there's a new measure or requirements. So just be on the lookout for that in the future.
Okay, fantastic. So with that, painting of the big picture, highlighting some of the big changes, that kind of lays the groundwork for us for looking at 2022. Can you talk us through some examples that kind of illustrate how the new rules could impact scoring?
I can. And this is what I really wanted to communicate today, because when you hear all of these changes, it's easy to understand them on a surface level and theoretically, but it's really important to me that practices understand how these changes are actually going to impact their MIPS final score, and then therefore their MIPS payment adjustment moving forward, because these are big, significant, impactful changes. So the way that these changes will impact each practice or each provider are going to be very different. So we're going to talk about three different examples to give you an idea, and I'll kind of walk you through what their situation has been in the past, where they've earned most of their points, and how that score is going to change for 2022. Now, let me say in the beginning that, of course, there are four categories in MIPS. The promoting interoperability and improvement activities categories, I'm treating as essentially the same. The scoring has not significantly changed for those categories. So I'm just assuming in these examples that a practice will perform about the same in 2021 versus 2022, and their score will be the same. So really what we're going to talk about here is mostly related to quality, cost, and those complex patient bonus points. So all of these three examples are actual practices that we work with and have worked with for years, or at least a couple of them we've worked with for years. One of them is new. The first one is a large gastroenterology practice. So this practice has performed fairly well on quality in the past. So they have actually scored about 45 out of 60 quality points just on the performance-based measures alone. But of course, they've always maximized their bonus points to reach, which takes them to about 57 points, which is almost topping out in the quality category. So their quality score has always been very good. So for instance, in 2021, their quality score is expected to be about 38 points out of a total 40 weighted points towards the MIPS final score. In 2022, however, they're going to lose those bonus points and the percentage of their overall points from quality. Some of those are going to be moved over to cost. So overall, there are going to be fewer points in the quality category to earn. So whereas they are looking at about 38 points for quality in 2021, if we use the new scoring methodology for the exact same performance, they're looking at earning about 22.5 points in 2022 for quality. On the flip side, their cost points on the surface increase. So this practice has scored about 66% in cost on cost measures in the last few years, or at least the years that we have data for. And in 2021, this will give them a cost score of about 13.2 weighted points towards their MIPS final score. In 2022, with the increased weighting of cost, we're going to see their score go to 19.8. Now, that seems good on the surface, but it doesn't quite make up for those points we're losing in the quality category. This practice does have one advantage in the complex patient bonus point area, because they do treat a complex patient population. In the past, they've received between 7.5 and 8 points for their complex patient bonus points. In the last couple of years, those bonus points have been doubled, by the way, because of COVID-19. And in 2022, CMS is officially bumping them up to 10 points possible moving forward. And I anticipate that they will receive the same number of bonus points both for 2021 and 2022. So that works in their favor. But in the end, when we look at all of these changes, what we see is a MIPS final score in 2021 of about 97 points and a MIPS final score in 2022 of about 88 points. So this practice goes from scoring almost the maximum and receiving maximum incentive to definitely meeting the performance threshold to avoid a penalty, but not quite reaching that 89 points required for the exceptional performer threshold. So we will definitely be taking some new strategic interventions getting ready for 2022 for this practice to try to inch them over that exceptional performer threshold of 89 points. But I think this is a really good illustration for a practice that does well, pretty much across the board, what those changes and what that impact of just the scoring methodology alone is going to do to their scores. So our second example here is a large primary care practice. Now, this is a practice we just started working with, and they actually came to us because they had listened to a previous webinar that we did earlier in the year talking about proposed changes for 2022, and they became concerned that their previous performance in MIPS wasn't going to be enough to avoid a penalty. So they asked for our assistance. We've been working with them this is a large primary care practice, and they have performed okay in quality. Not great, but okay. They have certainly taken advantage of the bonus points in the past to help inch up their score. But they are, of course, losing those bonus points just like everyone else is. So for 2021, they're looking at an expected quality score of about 34 out of 40 points. Those are weighted points. And in 2022, with a loss of bonus points, we're going to see that go down to 22.5 points. For cost, this practice has earned about 75% of their cost score points in the past. And we're going to see with the reweighting them go from 12 points for cost in 2021 to 18 points in 2022. Finally, for complex patient points, they've earned minimal complex patient points in the past because they are primary care. They do have a relatively healthy patient population. In 2022, we're going to see those complex patient bonus points probably go away for them because they're no longer going to meet one of the two standards required to earn those points. So ultimately, what that means for them is a 2021 score of about 63 points. I will remind you that the 2021 performance threshold is 60 points to avoid a penalty. So they are just over the threshold to avoid a penalty for 2021. But in 2022, they're looking at a score of about 55.45 points projected. And that is well under the 75-point threshold for next year, which means they, if no interventions are put into place, they will be penalized next year. They will receive a penalty. So obviously, we're working with them to try to implement interventions and make sure that that doesn't happen for them, and at least make sure that they get over that 75-point threshold, if not the 89-point threshold, to earn some of those exceptional performer bonus points. And our third example is a small ophthalmology practice. So this practice is unique in the sense that this is pretty much the only practice I know that can nearly top out quality only based on their performance, on their quality measures. And the reason they can do that is twofold. One is that they use a qualified clinical data registry, which allows them to report measures that are very specific to their patient population. So they're obviously ophthalmology. That's a very different scope of practice, let's say, than primary care, which is really what MIPS was intended for. But because they utilize that qualified clinical data registry, they can report on measures specific to ophthalmology. They perform very well on them. And secondly, we've been working with this group since 2016, actually. So we have continuously made small incremental improvements in their performance on those measures, changing workflows or changing documentation, educating providers and staff, anything we could do to increase their performance on those measures. And what that has meant for them is that they're nearly topped out on every single one of their six performance-based measures. Now, they do get a little bit of a bump in quality because they are a small practice, and the six bonus points applied in the quality category for small practices still applies for 2022, so they'll get to keep those bonus points, which will edge them over 100% for the quality category. So 2021 versus 2022, even though they're losing the end-to-end electronic bonus point, and the high priority and outcome bonus points, they're still going to top out in quality. Again, this is a very rare circumstance, but I just do want to show that the differences in scoring really are very practice specific based on the circumstances of each unique practice. Secondly, cost. This practice also happens to do very, very well in cost. They score about 95 to 97% of the possible cost points. Now, again, this is due to their specialty. So they actually only have one measure that they're scored on for cost because they are a specialty, and that is the cataract episode measure. And they happen to have an attached or associated ambulatory surgical center. So they are able to control cost because they own that ASC, which gives them a leg up in that cost scoring. So we're going to see them top out in cost points. They're going to go from 18.8 points in 2021 to 28.2 points in 2022, either way, almost to the top of the category points. The one hit that they will take in 2022, again, are those complex patient bonus points. So they in the past, in 2022, scored almost 5 points for complex patient bonus points. But we do not anticipate, with the changes in the way those bonus points are calculated, that they will receive those anymore in 2022. So they'll lose those points applied to their MIPS final score. In the end, they're looking at a projected change of scoring 100 points in 2022 versus about 98 points in 100 points in 2021 to 98 points in 2022. So not a big difference, but again, it's a unique circumstance. This practice has been working for years to be able to achieve this. This is the kind of the goal line that they've been working for 4 years, was to make sure that when they got to the point with MIPS where it became very competitive, that they would still be able to succeed at a high level.
Okay, great. Beth, thank you so much. This is a lot of information, especially the examples of practices that are doing okay ahead of these changes, and you know what might be in store for them going forward with as the new changes that go into effect. So as always, this has been very informative, and thank you so much. For those of you that are listening in as part of the Medical Advantage podcast channel, you can contact Beth at, so she's Beth Hickerson. So it's B Hickerson, HICKERSON at medicaladvantage.com, or just learn more at our website, medicaladvantage.com. Okay. So with that, Beth, I think we're wrapped up for today. To our audience, we certainly hope you found this helpful and useful, and we hope to see you again at a future broadcast or webinar episode in the future. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.